Welcome to Bible Believers Fellowship and the ministry of bbfohio.com as we begin this study of Daniel chapter 11, verses 29 through 45, titled Indignation of the Holy Covenant. We're closing out our study of the amazing prophecies found in Daniel chapter 11 and emphasizing the type of the Antichrist that is found in the person of Antiochus or Antiochus, as well as the dual fulfillment of these prophecies as we've gone verse by verse very carefully through the entirety of Daniel chapter 11. If you have any questions, comments, or prayer requests, please send those by email to bbfohio@protonmail.com. That's bbfohio@protonmail.com. Or send them by U.S. Postal to P.O. Box 662, Worthington, Ohio, 43085. And now we begin our study of Daniel chapter 11, verses 29 through 45, titled Indignation of the Holy Covenant. This is part one of two.
We're in Daniel chapter 11. We are going to finish the chapter this week, this study. We will open with a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for this time in your word. We love this book. We just love studying the Bible. We're thankful for the local church opportunity we have here to study together. And I'm thankful for the opportunity to teach. And we thank you for Brother John and Stephen and their teaching ministries. But more than anything, we're thankful for the infallible words of the King James Bible. Just pray, Lord, you help us to understand. And we can't say enough as a word of thanks. But we can show our thanks by appreciating the book, studying it, memorizing it, teaching and preaching it, and even giving them away when the opportunity is there. These things we do in obedience to you and out of love for Jesus Christ and what he has done for us. We pray in his precious name. Amen. Amen. I don't know why it got so loud on me. Just all of a sudden got loud on me.
It's trying to get your attention about the hurricane.
Yeah, it's got my attention. All right, so Hurricane Florence. Of course, a lot of you are aware of what's going on as far as the weather. And the last screenshot of the track that I saw, and they may have updated it because this was about 5 hours ago, but it's supposed to do a lot of flooding and damage in that circle. People in Georgia were kind of caught off guard. They had originally said it was going to go north. So if you know anybody down those regions, pray for them. And I just want to give you a possible reason why we're all of a sudden getting hit. We had Olivia was out in Hawaii. They got Isaac coming after Florence. There was one down in the Gulf that they're now saying could come on shore in Texas and flooding again in the area where they just got it last year in Houston. And I was wondering if I was the only person who paid attention to this. But on August 21st, President Trump gave a speech in Charleston, West Virginia. And he said that since Israel, since we put the embassy in Jerusalem, that now Israel had to give up something. And it was going to be something big. Here's his words, quote, I can't do a Trump imitation, so I won't try. But it says, if there's ever going to be peace with the Palestinians, then this was a good thing to have done. Talk about the embassy. Move to Jerusalem. He said, we took it off the table. In past negotiations, they never got past Jerusalem. Now, Israel will have to pay a higher price because it's off the table. The Palestinians will get something very good because it's their turn next. End quote. Now, I've told you over and over, you know I have loved and appreciated it, most everything Donald Trump's done as far as policies. I couldn't give a flip about what he says on Twitter. I don't care about his tone. All these effeminate and touchy people in America are all worried about how somebody says something. And, you know, they act like dogs, because a dog, you can look to it and you can say, I love you. I love you. Now come over here so I can pet you. And that dog will cower because of the way you're saying it. Or you can look at that dog and say, come over here, Fido. I'm about ready to shoot you in the head. Come on, come over here. And he'll come up and just let you shoot him in the head. Well, that's how Americans are now. Have you noticed that? If you say anything, some of the dumbest things you hear said, but if they'll say it nice, Americans just lap it up like a dog. Well, anyway, what I do care about is policy and things that matter. And I've told you, when Trump's wrong, I'll say so. When he's wrong, he needs to hear it from people. I'll be encouraging people to make the phone calls and write the letters and let him know we're opposed to forcing Israel to give up land. Amen. Now, he didn't say that they had to give up land, but that's what makes me think that's what's going on here. And if you don't, we've got a book over here, and we've given them out, actually. We bought a case two or three times. But we got this book here in our library. You can read it if you haven't owned one, don't have one. But you people out there in internet TV land, it's called As America Has Done to Israel by John P. McTernan. There's two or three others out there by other people, but this is the one we give out and recommend. And it shows that every time America tries to force Israel to give up land, we get slammed. And here you have this going on, and what's happening? We're getting slammed. And Florence is just the first. So there's your current events update. Something to pray about, amen? On a lighter note, there's still 10 days of summer remaining. How many of you love the fall? Amen. I do too. I love the fall. Jim works outdoors. Enough said. But I love the fall. And I've always loved my favorite season of the year is actually Christmas. My second favorite season is football season. But fall and football collide, you know, so that's why. But I do love the weather and the change and the cool and the chill at night and all that. All right, so let's get into Daniel 11. We're going to finish the chapter 29 to 45, indignation against the Holy Covenant. And keep in mind what I told you. We're going to come back to that at verse 39. We're going to talk about this thing with Israel again. That's a picture, artist rendering of the destruction of Jerusalem. And that's what happened later. But Antiochus besieged Jerusalem. And so that picture, I think, shows a good picture of what it probably looked like when Antiochus went against Israel, and to some extent that's what's going to happen when the Antichrist comes against Israel. You read Revelation chapter 12, they'll flee to the wilderness, which I believe will be Petra, and Jerusalem and everything in Israel will be destroyed. So we continue to see Antichrist fulfill the Antiochus prophecy in type. So keep that in mind as you read Daniel 11. Its prophecies were fulfilled in the immediate future of about 400 years in the time of Antiochus or Antiochus. And then we have seen, and I've shown, point by point, if you missed the studies, go back and watch them. They're online. You can go to Sermon Audio and listen to them on MP3 or watch the video. SermonAudio.com/BBBFOhio. That's the reason we had three B's, is we originally went by Bible Believers Baptist Fellowship, and it's just too many syllables and too many crazy, nutty Baptist groups out there all coming here expecting it to be one of their Baptist churches, like the one Baptist was a Calvinist, another Baptist was of another group, even among the independent fundamentalists, according to where they went to college. So we just said, let's just drop that nonsense. Bible Believers Fellowship. But remember, the website for sermonaudio.com is 3bsfohio. And then our Yahoo address is still bbbfohio@yahoo.com. So we left off in verse 28 with Antichrist turning against Israel. It said in verse 28, "Then shall he return into his land with great riches, and his heart shall be against the Holy Covenant." The Holy Covenant. "And he shall do exploits and return to his own land." And Antiochus, however you want. I'm going to call him Antiochus because that's just how I've always said it. And if anybody says I'm wrong, they're goofy because we don't know exactly how those names are pronounced. But Antiochus fulfilled these prophecies, but we already looked. I'm not going to re-preach the last Daniel study, but we saw, and we'll see some more indications as we continue reading, that the Antichrist will come against Israel. Like I said, Revelation chapter 12. So let's pick up verse 29. Read that with me. "At the time appointed, he shall return and come toward the south, but it shall not be as the former or as the latter." This partial defeat that's taking place enraged Antiochus, who turned back toward Israel with a fury. He went down into Egypt and was turned back. So it's kind of like the bully on the block who goes down the road and runs, meets his match, but he knows he can come back and find the people to pick on. And that's what Antiochus did there. Verse 30 says, "For the ships of Chittim shall come against him. Therefore he shall be grieved and return, and have indignation against the Holy Covenant. So shall he do. He shall even return and have intelligence with them that forsake the Holy Covenant." And of course, again, that happened. Every one of these things happened to Antiochus. And you note there, it talks about the secret intelligence from traitorous Jews. You know, that's been a problem for most people, most nations, and the Jews are no exception to that. If you study Jewish history, there's always been Jews who were traitors to their own nation. Just as we've had our Benedict Arnolds, they've had theirs. And it says that at the end of the verse, "You'll have intelligence with them that forsake the Holy Covenant." Well, you know, that's not a real surprising thing when you think about it. If the rapture happened today, the mass majority of Jews, all these New York Jews and all the Jews down in Argentina and places like that, they're all going to go back to Israel. Not a lot of them are really, you know, what they call observant Jews. Not a lot of them are Torah Jews. So the idea that a bunch of these Jews that are left behind and go to Israel will turn and join the Antichrist, it's not very surprising based on the spiritual blindness, but also just the fact of history. It's happened so much, so often. Clarence Larkin says, quote, "Antiochus then withdrew his army from Egypt and vented his fury upon the Jews of the glorious land." You remember, every time you see that glorious land, that's about Israel, the Jews. "In the fearful massacres, persecutions, and pollutions of the temple described in the first chapter of the first book of Maccabees." Maccabees is not inspired scripture. Amen. But there's these goofballs out there that'll call the apocryphal books satanic. They're not satanic. They're just not scripture. Every book except for that Bible at the third shelf, all these other books up here are not inspired scripture. Amen. But they're not satanic, or we wouldn't put them out there. And that's the way with the when you hear about the Apocrypha, some people have been kind of trained to think, you know, "Oh, those are Satan's books." No, they're not. They're just not scripture. And they shouldn't be in the Bible. But they are historical. And they have a historical value. That's why Clarence Larkin's referring to them. And he's criticized for that. And the people who do that are just dumb. Ignorance is what causes a lot of that stuff. "In doing this," he continues, "in doing this, he repaired the massive walls and towers of the citadel of David and garrisoned them with Syrian soldiers. He commanded that all his subjects be one people and one religion with the same laws And in order to enforce this upon the Jews, their sanctuary was profaned, their offerings and sacrifices prohibited, and an idol altar built over the altar of Jehovah, upon which swine's flesh was sacrificed, presumably to an image placed over it. Imagine the holy temple in Jerusalem and Antiochus going in with a pig and slaughtering that thing in the Holy of Holies. Verse 31 continues and says, "And arms shall stand on his part, and they shall pollute the sanctuary of strength," which is what Clarence Larkin was just talking about, "and shall take away the daily sacrifice, and they shall place the abomination that maketh desolate." Now, this is an obvious, another dual fulfillment. It's in type, and it is a dual prophecy fulfilled by Antiochus and Antichrist. Turn back to, keep your finger there, but turn back a couple pages to Daniel 9, where we studied the 70th week of Daniel. And in verse 27, it says that the Antichrist will confirm the covenant, the holy covenant, and he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. And in the midst of the week, he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease. Is that what we just read? "And for the overspreading of abominations, he shall make it desolate." That's the abomination that maketh desolate. Isn't that what it says there in verse 31? Amen. "Even until the consummation, and that determined shall be poured upon the desolate." We won't re-preach that. Well, this is just one of those moments where you read these guys and you're like, what in the world? You know, Clarence Larkin, for the record, we just have a point of difference with him here, and I just have to say this because I know there's a lot of people who read his stuff, and they're going to hear me teach, and they're going to say, well, you made it look like Larkin agreed with you on this. No, I'm making it clear. I'm taking historical information that Larkin provides, but on this matter of the abomination that maketh desolate, matching Daniel 9:27 and the prophecies of Jesus, which clearly shows it's still got a future fulfillment, Larkin actually says this was the abomination that maketh desolate spoken of in the text, but not the abomination of desolation spoken of by Christ in Matthew 24:15. Why? I have no idea. He doesn't give an explanation of why he doesn't think they're the same thing. That is still future. Well, see, it just doesn't make any sense when you read his commentary. We'll see him in heaven, and I'm sure Clarence will say, yeah, I got that wrong. But it's just amazing because it doesn't make any sense. He says it's mentioned in Daniel 12:11. We'll get to that next study. And will be the fulfillment of the overspreading of desolations of Daniel 9:27. See how it doesn't make any sense the way he's handling that. I said, what? Amazingly, Larkin rejected Antiochus as a type and did not see dual fulfillment of these prophecies, although he did others. And I've looked at his book and everything, I've not seen any explanation as to why. That's why we always said, including Greg Miller, the only thing infallible is the book. Amen. So you read commentaries, you read anybody else, and I don't care who it is, if you're a Berean, you're going to check the scripture to see if what they're teaching is true. And really, I mean, I'm telling you, that makes me feel good if I know you're doing that. Because it takes a load off my shoulders. I don't want to be Pastor Holy Spirit Miller. I am a teacher, but the book is the words of the Holy Spirit. So if I'm up here teaching, I might think, I've done it. You've done it, I'm sure. I'm sure you've thought, oh, and then something else comes out of your mouth. Well, if you're a Berean, you're going to hear that. And we had, I can't remember, not too long ago when I was teaching, somebody blurted out something. I said, what? And I looked down, they were right. I had misread it. But I thought I said it right. We all, especially as we get older, Johnny, believe it or not, as you get older, you'll do that kind of thing. You're going to look at Jenny and say, Vladdy, I mean Jenny. She's called Sebby Charlie and called me Sebby. I mean, It happens. There's no natural explanation to it. But he says this, it is very important right here to note that all that has been recorded from verse 21 to 31 inclusive has reference to Antiochus Epiphanes and not to the Antichrist or any other person, and was literally and completely fulfilled by him as foretold. That's true, but there's a dual fulfillment.
Amen.
Anti. So there's absolutely nothing in these verses left for the future. There is no intimation that Antiochus Epiphanes is even to be regarded as a type of Antichrist. They are distinct historical personages, etc. I'm not even going to read the whole thing because it's just that it doesn't make any sense what he's saying. You can look at it on your own time and figure how you feel about it, but this is how I feel about it. The similarities are eerie and stark. It's simply a fact that most of these events in this chapter are repeated about Antichrist elsewhere, as we've seen. So it's not even, I'm telling you, it's not my opinion. I've shown you as we've gone verse by verse where it says Antiochus did something, and you can find where it says the Antichrist will do that.
Yeah. Okay.
And that's scripture with scripture, brother.
Amen.
If you won't do that, you end up if you don't do that, you end up a Southern Baptist. So anyway, a little pause. I want to say this about Clarence Larkin. It's good stuff.
Amen.
Get his Dispensational Truth, the big one. Cost you about $35-$40. His commentary on Daniel, his commentary on Revelation.
Amen.
But there are a bunch of goofballs out there on YouTube land and elsewhere who will tell people you shouldn't read that, read Larkin stuff, because they disagree with him on something. And that's just ridiculous.
Amen.
Now, you, as I said, Brian, you study it, you check it out. There are times where Clarence Larkin will quote the RV.
Yeah.
Well, so did D.L. Moody. So did R.A. Torrey. So did Charles Spurgeon.
Yep, that's right.
So did John R. Rice. So did J. Frank Norris. So did A.C. Gabelain. I could go on and on and on, because they didn't have all the information you and I have. Now, it's just cocky and arrogant for a preacher to stand up here and condemn some guy because he didn't have the whole story. And they didn't. They were told that Sinaiticus and Vaticanus were the oldest and best manuscripts and blah, 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 scholarship this and blah, blah, blah. Now we know better. Now we know that the Vaticanus probably wasn't a 4th century manuscript, but even if it was, it was corrupt. It was corrupt then, it's corrupt now. Sinaiticus, see Daniel, David W. Daniels of chick.com. You can go on his YouTube and watch his videos. He was a translator for the Wycliffe translators. He was taught by Eugene Nida, one of the gods of the new version translation technique called dynamic equivalency and all that. And he has come to the conclusion that Sinaiticus, the other manuscripts at the oldest and best, it's a fake, it's a forgery.
Yeah.
And they didn't have all that information. They didn't know that Westcott and Hort were evolutionists who were pro-Roman Catholic, were into Mariolatry and into the necromancy and the psychic guild and all that stuff, and denied the physical bodily resurrection of Jesus and so forth and so on. They didn't know all that. And so J. Vernon McGee and some of the others, you have to listen to them. When they do that, just mute it, just block it out, and then when they get back to the Bible, listen. All right, moving on. Verse 32, read that with me. And such as do wickedly against the covenant shall he corrupt by flatteries. But the people that do know their God shall be strong and do exploits. Now, that's actually a true statement throughout history with God's people compared to the wicked. And it's true now. And it's becoming really obvious who the wicked are and who God's people are. And during the time of Antiochus, it became very clear. And there were those who, when it says those who do wickedly against the covenant, that's talking about apostates. And that's what's going to happen during the tribulation period as well. Such times of desperation have a way of exposing the good, the bad, and the ugly. You take a guy like Schindler during the Holocaust, he's not the kind of guy you'd really expect to be a hero. But the Holocaust happened, and what did he do? He became a hero. And there's people today, you look around, I hope that I'm not one of them, but there's people you'll look at and you'll think, wow, that guy, it gets tough. He's going to stand firm. He's going to, you know. And then when the going gets tough, the tough get going. you'll find some of those tough guys hitting the road and leaving you hanging high and dry. Yeah. And then some of the little quiet, squeaky little guy in the corner who doesn't say much, doesn't even do a lot. He does what he does, but he doesn't do it with a lot of fanfare and everything. He's the guy that ends up being a hero. Yep. So you don't judge a book by the cover, amen?
Amen.
Is that another Ecclesiasticus, I think? But I love that. The good, the bad, and the ugly. But we mostly remember those who rise to the occasion and shine. We do remember the Benedict Arnolds, but we really spend most of our time thinking about the guys who really rise to the occasion. And that's in verse 33. It says, "And they that understand among the people shall instruct many, yet they shall fall by the sword, and by flame, by captivity, and by spoil many days." There you go. Those are the guys that are going to stand up. They stood up, by the way. We're going to meet these guys in heaven. They took a stand and said they had understanding among the people and shall instruct many. They were teachers, Bible teachers. They were people kind of like Simeon. You remember when Jesus was born and Mary took him to the temple. If we weren't told about Simeon in that text, then we wouldn't have known he even existed. But there he was, looking for the Messiah. Put Jesus in his hands, and he says, basically, "I can die now, Lord. I've seen your salvation." And, well, there's guys like him 150 years before Jesus was born. Right there you're reading about. We're going to meet a lot of these guys. We've never heard of them, don't know their names. But persecution under Antiochus was horrendous. But it was nothing compared to what is to come. Jesus said it'll be like nothing we've ever seen. And I always tell people, most people can't handle seeing what has happened. Most of you, I'm just saying I know this to be true, most of you have never really seen what the Holocaust was like. You say, "Well, I saw pictures and I saw a couple documentaries." I've talked to a couple of the men who were there, and they put it this way, they couldn't put a lot of that stuff on TV. Yeah. They wouldn't let them put it on TV, the stuff they saw, things that happened. And what happened with the destruction of Jerusalem in 70 AD, parents eating their own children, that kind of thing. We just, we don't like to think about it, and that's normal, that's good. But just rest assured that what's about to happen is much worse than what we know about and what most of us know about. We don't even really know the whole wickedness, the whole horrendous situation that's already taken place. It's going to be bad. Revelation 13:7, "And it was given unto him to make war with the saints," and to what? That's why the church isn't there. Jesus said the church will not be overcome. The gates of hell will not prevail against the church. But the Antichrist will overcome the saints during the tribulation. And power was given him over all kindreds and tongues and nations. You realize that's never happened. We've had global empires, but they haven't controlled the entire system. They haven't controlled everything the way the Antichrist will. Nebuchadnezzar, the Caesars, even the popes.